from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. No Kyle Madsen today. I'm James Hamm. Filling in is Jesse Tapia. We're hanging out with you on this Tuesday. We have some breaking news. It's not breaking news as much as is breaking update, I guess. Is that how we would? I don't know. I don't know. Jesse, how?
We've got things to say, people.
We've got things to say, right? So the Brandon Ayuk situation has been hanging over the San Francisco 49ers like a dark cloud. And I don't think that there's any end in sight on that. But according to Ian Rappaport, the Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pitt is in a good place on an Ayuk contract, sources say. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. And then he continues. San Francisco has an offer out to Ayuk on a long-term deal for him to stay. He hasn't accepted. Where are we at, Jesse?
He's not taking that San Francisco deal. I'll tell you that right now. That deal's been out there or whatever. There was reports, I think, on Friday or Thursday or whenever it was that they were going to kind of come back to the table and talk it out and stuff like that. Nothing's happened. So obviously he's not signing whatever it is they're putting out there.
Okay, so what we've heard is that San Francisco started with a $26 million offer. And then I read this morning somewhere, I'm not sure where, that as of right now, it looks like the Pittsburgh offer to him is around $28 million a year. I really have a hard time believing that at a certain point in where we're at, that the 49ers said we're offering $26 million. Like, and this is supposed to be months ago, right?
Yeah, in May.
And here we are like 4 months later, and we're still at the same 26 million. There's no way it's still at 26 million.
We're missing obviously like pieces to the story, but yeah, just there's a big chunk that just isn't making sense right here. Because if it's between, like, if the Steelers are willing to offer 20 and a half, 28 or whatever, like the 49ers really can't get to that number.
That's wild to me.
That doesn't make sense. That's bad business almost, I feel.
It absolutely does not make any sense at all. Like, if you're within $2 million, there should be a way to come to a common ground. And like, look, if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I look at Pittsburgh and I think, okay, like it's an opportunity to start over somewhere else, and maybe my numbers will go up because like they have a good number two wide receiver, but I should be the guy. But then you look and you go, okay, do I really want to go out there and have Russell Wilson throw to me? Or, you know, like,
Or Justin Fields.
Like, do they even know who the quarterback is? And do they know who the quarterback is after this year? Because if you're going to Pittsburgh, you're signing a 5-year deal, right? 4 or 5-year deal, whatever it might be. Both of those guys are not under contract after this season. Neither one. Like, this
is
the 5th year, and this is Wilson. They signed him to a cheap, like, you know, make good deal. I don't know.
I feel like Justin Fields can be a guy, but there's also the fact you look at Brandon Ayuk, hey, Mike Tomlin's there, and somehow he gets team some over 500. I think he had 1 year. We had Duck Hodges as quarterback, and they somehow went 8-8 or something like that. So, I mean, Pittsburgh's not the worst situation. I think out of everything we've heard between the Browns, the Patriots, and all that, I think Pittsburgh probably be the best place he could go to right now.
I think it might be the best place he can go. Actually, I'll correct you. The best place he can go to right now is the San Francisco 49ers, where he would play for Super Bowl championship.
That's fair.
At least have an opportunity.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yes, like I think we can all agree the best spot for both of them is there in Santa Clara with the Niners. Like, they need each other. I don't want to say that. They're best off with each other. But it's just I don't get where the disconnect is coming from. Because if I'm the Niners, I'm looking at Ayuk, like Kittle, Debo, they're going to be there for however many years or whatever. Like, to me, Ayuk is part of that next core where we shift, where it's Purdy, it's Ayuk, it's Bosa, CMC is still there, whatever, like Warner. Like, now that's what we're building off of. Like, that's the guy you want around, I'd feel.
Yeah, it's funny because in the NBA, I think you look at your team in, like longer windows, right? You're hoping for, like, a 6 to 8 year playoff run. In the NFL, you're looking at, like, okay, can we piece it together for 2 or 3 years? And then whether it's the salary cap that catches you or injuries that catch you or age that catches you, something will catch up to you by the end of a 2-3 year run, typically.
Yeah.
And so you're always trying to like reset and be good again. I think the only team that kind of defied that was the Patriots. But even the Patriots, we can go through season by season and see where they had a stark drop off and then they bounce right back and then they start winning and go to the Super Bowl again. But for me, like, I think you were right when you said it the first time. The best possible solution for both of these, the player and the team, is for him to be back in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's where he's comfortable. It's where he knows the quarterback really well.
And the quarterback loves throwing him the ball.
Loves throwing him the ball. Now, could he get more opportunity? Yeah, he could get more opportunity. And he probably will get more opportunity. Like Debo and McCaffrey, like they're going to have to like take a step back a little bit here and there. This year and next year, I just say the same thing about Kittle. Like, this is on a path where there's a way he will have massive opportunity in San Francisco if he just kind of sticks it out and waits till some of the other guys clear out.
Yeah, and we got Rams in here. He throws the team can't pay everyone reason 147 where Eric Armstead's a Jacksonville Jaguar. I get that completely. It's just that Brandon Ayuk is one of the guys that I would pay. And I'd probably work it out with someone else where it's like, maybe, like, can you take a pay cut here or whatever? But Brandon Ayuk is one of the guys I'm keeping around.
Well, that and Armstead got to a point where, unfortunately, he wasn't reliable on the field, like, whether he's going to be there every game. You know, he started to have injuries start to stack up, and it's unfortunate, but that's the way football, you know, works, especially offensive line, defensive line. Sometimes offensive linemen can last forever, but, like, Eric Armstead had a really good run in San Francisco. Eventually, he became a player that they couldn't continue to pay the high clip for, and another team can because they don't have all of these other pieces that the 49ers do, and the 49ers went less expensive there. Like, I get it. They were able to, you know, bring in, like, three guys for the price that Armstead went and got from someone else. So I think that this is one of those situations where, like, look, if you're the San Francisco 49ers, and it's got to be something we're missing, Jesse. It's got to be about guaranteed money. There's something that we're missing that I'm not sure why it doesn't make sense, but we're missing something.
It has to be. It's just the 49ers just don't view Brandon Ayuk as what Brandon Ayuk views himself, so I guess. Just as this top receiver. It's just, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense, like you said. I think maybe it has, I'm just guessing at this point, we all are, just maybe it has to do with guaranteed money or something. I don't get why. Just the numbers we've heard, that just doesn't, there shouldn't be this massive drop off or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, I'm kind of wishy-washy. I think he's going to Pittsburgh now.
You think so?
I don't think they're going to work it out. Like, there's a deal there. It doesn't seem like the 49ers are going to, I mean, budge on their number. It doesn't seem like Brandon Ayuk is going to budge on his number. Ian Rappaport says that they have a deal on a potential trade, and then Pittsburgh is in a good place with Ayuk's contract. It's just up to San Francisco to say yes. Like, deal's there. If San Francisco sees it, like, we're just like, yeah, we're not getting anywhere with Ayuk. He's not going to take this deal. I think we're at a point where they're probably just going to say, all right, yeah, go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but I think that they're at a point where you've got to be so close that you just kind of march a couple of more. I don't think Pittsburgh is going away. Pittsburgh has wanted Brandon Ayuk for the last 6 months. I don't think they're going away. And I think that they're going to be a team that, like, if you have to wait another week, another 2 weeks, and you get so close to the season, you could say, okay, look, now it's time. We got to go. We can't bridge this whatever gap. I also think there's a little bit of, like, they're playing chicken here. Both sides.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what's going on, too. I wonder how much it would benefit San Francisco just to, if Ayuk isn't going to be here or whatever, and it's just, you know, you're not going to get a contract done with, how much it would just benefit for them to just move on now and just, all right, this is our team. Play out these last couple weeks of training camp. No more distractions or whatever. Trent Williams, here's your money or whatever. Come back. And it's just, all right, here's our squad. Let's go.
Yeah, but I always, like, how are you going to be just as good as you were last year or better? And I don't think you can be.
You won't be. That's the thing. The San Francisco 49ers, I think, lost. If they trade him to the Steelers and I don't think they're getting a George Pickens back. We'll see. Maybe they can get a player in a different position group or whatever. But the 49ers lost, I think, situation if they trade him to Pittsburgh.
If they trade him, they lose.
Yeah.
And I think they understand that.
Like, I think so, too. You'd hope so.
You can be really confident as a GM, but if you can't see that you're going to lose in this situation, then I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you can get a second round pick for him or whatever, and that'll help you next year and all that, but, like, you're trying to win Super Bowls now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And Deebo Samuel's great. He's a playmaker. He's one of the best in the league, but you're gonna have a hole at wide receiver, too.
No, totally. Yeah, I totally agree. This thing's been wearing on us for a while, but I feel like the further away we get from, like, the dramatic scene that was last week, the further we get from that, the more I think he's staying. So that's just me, though. We'll see how it goes. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. We might talk some NBA schedule. Maybe we'll get some insight on what's going to happen with the Sacramento Kings in the coming weeks with regards to the NBA schedule. And I don't know. We got plenty still to talk about. So we're the insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I'm James. He's Jesse. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle Madsen is out for the rest of the week. Nothing going on. He's celebrating his birthday, taking a little breather. Well-deserved break for our friend Kyle. Jesse, we got a little... Well, I did not know that today is Damian Barling's birthday, right?
Yep.
I did not know he shared a birthday with DeMarcus Cousins.
I did not know today was DeMarcus Cousins' birthday.
Today, DeMarcus Cousins, Sacramento Kings legend, Boogie Cousins, is 34 years old.
If I would have had my way, DeMarcus Cousins would have been a Boston Celtic the year he got traded to the Pelicans. I was fighting for that for so long.
You were calling Danny
Ainge. Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins was one of my favorite players in the league. I was like, if you can get him here or whatever, because Boston at the time was like trying to figure it out. How are they going to get, like, you get DeMarcus Cousins here, like, that's it.
That's crazy.
I love DeMarcus Cousins.
I can't believe he's 34.
Yeah.
I started covering the Kings the year that DeMarcus was drafted, so 2010. And that's just crazy to think. So,
dude, that Hall of Fame talent too. Like, he was a monster. He was kind of,
no question.
He was one of the first, I feel like, that started taking threes as far as the big man. Like, he would have thrived. I feel, if the injuries didn't happen at all, he would have thrived, I think, in this new how the game's played now.
Okay, so he is one of the first big men who were allowed to take the ball up the court full speed, mm-hmm. like centers. That, like, Dirk did a little bit of it, but, you know, we're talking about, like, what you see from Sabonis now, where Sabonis is doing spin moves and crossing over and going between his legs on the break at half court, that was DeMarcus Cousins. He's really the first one that I can remember that had that full skill set. So he, and as a true center, as like sort of a center hybrid, you know, we had 7-footers like, again, Dirk, Kevin Durant, who are dribbling and doing crazy things as well. But as far as a big man, the other thing that DeMarcus, as a player, what I loved was how he contorted his body. Like, his ability to move his upper body to get through people.
Well, he didn't look like the most athletic guy either out there, but it's just like you said, like, he could just move.
Yeah, just absolutely so gifted. Watching him on a night-in, night-in, a night-out basis as just a basketball player without all the other stuff, just a basketball player, was an absolute joy. Absolute tremendous, tremendous. The most... I believe still, like, the most talented, straight-up talented player that I think I've covered. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is really, really close, but I
DeMarcus Cousins was everything to me. I feel like he was, like, he could hit the three if he wanted. He could dominate down low. He could pass the ball a bit. Like, he was just,
yeah.
He was all around solid.
It was, George Karl really pushed DeMarcus Cousins to shoot the three, and DeMarcus didn't love it. He wasn't all on board, but he wasn't on board with anything that George had to say anyway, so.
Yeah.
That was like the worst marriage of all time there between those two. I think it helped his game. I think it did, you know, especially it gave him a little bit more later in his career as the game really started to shift, that we've seen, you know, I've talked about this a million times. Like, Steph Curry has done more for the game of basketball, like his shooting and stuff. I think he's changed the game as much as any player that we've seen in the history of the game. I think Wilt changed the game. I think Michael changed the game. There are different moments in time where people change the game. And as much as LeBron James is just incredible, the most influential player of this generation, I believe, is Steph Curry. And
Steph changed the way teams play basketball now. The way the Boston Celtics play basketball is a credit to Stephen Curry.
Yeah, totally. And I've talked about, like, in Peja Stojakovic is on the 2011 Dallas Mavericks and retires after winning a championship, right? At that point when he retired, I believe he was number 3 in the NBA in NBA history and made in 3-point makes.
Yeah, you're right.
He's now like number 24 or 25.
That's an insane thing to think about too.
The game,
like, Peja was that guy, but, like, the game has changed so much. Was like, now everyone does this.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane how much he's changed the game. And you can throw James Harden in there, you can throw Damian Lillard in there, but realistically, the guy who started shooting further and further out, they started shooting such huge, massive amounts of threes and making a high percentage of them, was Steph. And I think he's changed the way that the game will be played for the next, like, 20 years. You go out to the blacktop now, and, like, first of all, everyone does, like, the James Harden sidestep move.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it still looks like a travel every time I see it, especially for people who aren't very good. It looks like a travel. But like you see it everywhere. And then you see guys hoisting from nonstop. And you go out to watch any sort of like rec basketball, all they do is shoot threes.
It's kind of like watching guys like Trae Young now. Like that's from Steph and all that. Like that's how he plays.
Yes. Yeah. We're seeing like what it looks like the next generations of players. And I think KD will have a huge influence too, like being a 7-footer and being able to shoot the three. I think it started with Dirk and then goes to KD, like being that powerful.
Being able to handle the basketball as well.
Yeah, just to space the floor. Like it's really like the game has changed so much. But
while you bring up Steph, it reminds me, I saw a tweet earlier because we saw the shot at the end of the Olympics or whatever. Where he's got two guys on him. Is that his greatest shot ever? What is Steph's greatest shot ever?
I don't know.
For me, it's still the one against the Thunder where he pulls up from damn near half court, it feels like, or whatever, and hits it. It was like an ESPN Sunday game or whatever.
Well, there's always like the game where, like against the Kings, where all of a sudden Steph hits like, I don't know, six shots in a row, and you're just sitting back like, I can't believe this is happening like this. Like, I can't believe he's so good, and just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. Like, it's such a, it doesn't matter how good the defense is on him. He will still find a way to like rip out your soul. So
there's no guarding that.
Yeah, there's no guarding it. There's no guarding it. I don't have a lot on the schedule yet, but we will. I think the schedule's coming out tomorrow, the next day. We'll have all kinds of breakdowns on the NBA schedule. But from one of my sources, it does look like the first NBA Cup game the Kings will play is November 15th. Against Minnesota at home. So November 15th, mark your calendars. That's going to be the first time we see the crazy court. That's at least what I'm hearing right now. So these things on occasion change, but I think that that's probably going to be when they open the NBA Cup. And, you know, they did really well in the NBA Cup last year.
Let's fix up those courts a bit, though. Let's fix some of the things that maybe didn't work last year.
What did you not like? Because I think the King's Court was incredible.
The King's Court was fine, but I mean, as a whole for the NBA, like let's clean it up a bit. Let's not have this blue-ass court or this whole red court like it's Boise State, the Boise State field or Eastern Washington or whatever. It could be gray. It could be it could be tan or whatever. Flag thrown on me for what I was going to say. It could be whatever you want, but it doesn't need to be red, yellow, or whatever. Like make it a little bit easier on the eyes.
Okay. A little easier on the eyes.
Just clean up the little things because I think the NBA, the in-season tournament, works fine.
I think the color of the court, like, I like the change. I think when it all looks totally different out there and you're like, hey, this is cool. I don't know. It does have a different feel. I don't know how long it will last as, like, a novelty item.
I think it'll be here for a while.
I think it'll be here for a while as well. But I think the courts are fire. I think the uniforms are spectacular. The Kings have really, the last couple of years, have, like, nailed it with the uniforms.
Yeah, they've been really top-notch.
Yeah, totally. We were going to get to some baseball stuff to lead off this segment, but I want to get to a little bit. Last night, the Giants lost in extra innings. What an incredible pitcher's duel. Like, absolutely unbelievable pitcher's duel.
I think it was Chris Sale and Blake Snell combined for 23 strikeouts, it was?
Yeah, it's something like...
One had 11 and one had 12, I believe, if I'm not mistaken it.
It's the first game in, like, I don't know, there was a stat that went out last night where a 9-inning game... Where there were 30 strikeouts and 9 innings combined between the two teams and no run scored. Absolutely spectacular.
That's got to be tough going back to the dugout. Like, hey, fellas, you maybe want to help me out here. I'm pitching, having the game of my life right here, and it's just maybe give me one run. The Braves were able to do it.
It's a point that I've always made about a perfect game or a no-hitter, right? It's like you want to give all of the props to the pitcher, right? But in order for the pitcher to win, the offense actually has to score a run.
Yep.
Or the game just keeps going. And then they don't get to pitch anymore, and they lose their no-hitter by not being on the court. So, yeah, definitely one of those things where, I would have liked to have watched that game, like, all the way through. Like, it was very intense. Like,
yeah, pitchers' duels are boring to people, but for me, I feel like I love that stuff with baseball. If you appreciate, like, baseball and all that, like, that's your bag, too, I feel.
Yeah, totally. And it was a devastating loss for the San Francisco Giants. They had an opportunity. They were a game and a half out behind the Braves last night. They lost to the Braves as opposed to moving up to a half game. They could have moved to a half game out of the wild card. They dropped the 2.5 games out. And, I mean, they still have time, right?
You ever seen the Geico commercial where the little fisherman dude, he's got the dollar or whatever. He's like, oh, you almost had it. You almost had it. That's the that's the Giants with that third wild card spot.
Yeah, it's like dangling.
Honestly, being 500. They get so close to either or, and it's just, oh, you almost had it. And they fall back a couple steps. And they get closer again. It's been all season long with these guys.
Yeah, it has been like a wild, like just how they can't figure out a way to like have sustained success and like get to that point. But I will say, like, I don't think that that's a very talented team.
Yeah, I don't think they're what their roster says they are. Like, you have great pitching or whatever, but you don't really have the bats or whatever to kind of just take you home.
Exactly. And you probably should have gone out and got one of those bats at the trade deadline. Yeah, disappointing night for the San Francisco Giants. But they still got a shot. And
it's baseball. Anything could happen.
You don't want to put them away, especially when they have two incredible starters that are going out there. And what Blake Snell's done like recently is just incredible.
Yeah, he's been on fire.
Yeah. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll do things like the handoff. And we'll talk a little bit about Shohei Ohtani, who is on the verge of doing a very, very rare feat in Major League Baseball. So I am James. He is Jesse. We're the insiders here on ESPN 1320. See you in just a minute. Welcome back into the insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia. We're just hanging out here on this Wednesday. It, of course, is Damian Barling's birthday. There are things going on here in the studio. Things are being set up. Like, he's a special character here at ESPN 1320, and he deserves his props for his birthday.
That's facts.
I don't know how old he is. Like, I'm not even going to guess.
He's a young soul.
I don't tell people my birthday, how old I am, and I don't know how old he is. So, but we're going to have people coming in and out here. I believe, here's Kimberly.
There's
right
an appearance by
right
Kim.
Now. There's
Chatty House favorite, Kim, right there.
She is a Chatty House favorite. Jesse, last night we had Shohei Ohtani. He just keeps doing these crazy things. So he's up to 36 homers and 33 stolen bases. I don't know how many games Dodgers have left in the season. I guess I should have looked that up before I started this.
It's all good, James. I'm pulling it up right now.
You're pulling it up right now? Okay, thank you. This is what Kyle, his life is like, Jesse. He has to produce and talk on the radio at the same time. 36 homers, 33 stolen bases, and he's on pace to get to the 40-40 mark, which we talk about this all the time, like this is rare things in sports, and I think hitting for the cycle is one of the most rare things in baseball, and then hitting four home runs in a game is one of the very rarest of things. Like, they're perfect games and no hitters. They actually happen more often than some of these other feats. But one of the rarest of rare feats is the 40-40 stat. And I was looking it up before. Jesse, how many people have reached the 40 home run, 40 stolen base mark?
We've got five, James. We've got Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, Alfonso Soriano, and Ronald Acuna.
Okay, and what do three of those guys have in common?
I don't think, allegedly, they've done steroids, James.
Allegedly? Yes, allegedly, they've done steroids. In the midst of their dominance, you have question marks about whether they were dirty or not, right?
Yeah.
That just
makes, honestly, the stats so much better for Shohei if he pulls this off. And even Ronald Acuna's in there. Like, just the fact that they're doing that now when it's just so rare.
Yeah. I mean, I first of all, like, to have a stat out there that has only been done five times in the history of baseball.
And he's got 43 games to do it, too, by
crazy.
The way. 43 games left.
There's actually Bobby Bonds would have been the first 40-40, if I'm not mistaken. And Jose Canseco was the first 40-40. But I think Bobby Bonds would have been the first 40-40. And I believe he actually hit a home run in a game that didn't make it five innings, and it would have given him his 40th home run. It wouldn't have been 40 at that time, but
yeah.
It took a home run off the board, and then the game had to be replayed because it hadn't gone five. So I think that that's the case. But again, it's like such a rare feat, and you look at the guys, and it's like, okay, I don't know what to say, but like Barry Bonds was a great stolen base guy when he was young, right? And then the home run, the like want to hit home runs happened. and it kind of took him away from who he was as a player.
Yeah, I missed out on Barry Bonds, like the pirate, or just the athlete that he was then. Like, to me, Barry Bonds is just this massive dude who was just in bombs every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I didn't see that, like, that athleticism, him playing the outfield or stealing bases or anything like that.
No, I mean, before that, yeah, he was realistically built. Like, it was a lot more like a like what Willie Mays was, right? So you had this all-around guy who could run and was phenomenal in the outfield. Didn't have a great arm, but still won gold gloves all the time. I was always a little leery on his gold glove winning. You know, like...
Come on, James.
Gold gloves can be a little weird, right? Like, there's a year where Rafael Palmeiro won the gold glove at first base,
mm-hmm,
and he was a DH the whole season and played, like, so few games.
All right, well, know. I get that, then.
So this, the gold glove has always been questionable. Just like, you know, Ricky Henderson got to a ton of balls in the outfield, but didn't have a great arm at all. Like, where that used to be, like, the gold standard of outfielders. When I was young, the gold standard of outfielders wasn't, like, your center fielders robbed home runs and did crazy stuff, right? Your Torrey Hunters, that type of guy. But the real guys that you wanted to watch were the guys with the cannons. Mm-hmm. Like Jesse Barfield had an absolute cannon in right field for the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, there were these guys, Dave Winfield, huge. Dave Parker, one of the most, like, the greatest play in an all-star game is Dave Parker gunning somebody at home. That used to be sort of like how you judge guys, even before that, Roberto Clemente. Then you get these guys who, yeah, they catch the ball and they win gold gloves and maybe they get a dive here and there, but they don't have this cannon. And you're like, how's that guy winning the gold glove? I'm not quite sure.
It's a forgotten art. But, like, going back to Shohei, like, just imagine if the guy was pitching too. Like, the dude is insane.
Isn't that crazy?
He's insane. Like, I was all last year, Shohei is the most talented player to ever play baseball and stuff like that. I fell back a bit. You guys can have Barry Bonds if that's what you guys want, whatever. But Shohei is just he's out of this world.
He is. Totally.
He's everything that was like advertised to. He's everything that they said.
The crazy thing is with the stolen bases specifically. So he's 30 years old, right? And he hasn't been asked to do a lot of this throughout his career. I mean, you know, he did have 1 year early in his career. He had 26 stolen bases, right? He stole 20 bases last year. But the crazy thing is he's a big dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, not a little guy.
No, he's 6'4". And he's out there like, I don't know if it's people don't expect him to run or they're looking over and they're thinking, oh, that's Shohei the pitcher. He's the home run hitter and the pitcher, but then they're not expecting it. But it almost feels like he got bored because he's not pitching. So he's like, okay, how else could I dominate the game? Like, how else can I go out there and do something that no one else can do? And now it's like, all right, man, like, what is it that he can't do? He's, as of right now, he's leading the league in home runs with 36. His OPS is tops. He's over 1,000 OPS. His slugging is tops in the league, 621 slugging. I mean, we're talking about, like, one of the most magnificent baseball players that we've ever
seen.
They're
only paying him, like, $2 million a year, James.
Oh, that's right. They are only paying him.
I still don't know how they pulled that off and why other teams just don't do that. Like, if that's the case, why don't we all just... They basically put Shohei Ohtani on Klarna. Like, yes, this will be our payment plan or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, he's on layaway.
Yeah, shout out to those services, by the way, because you guys really help out Jesse in Christmas shopping.
There we go. I remember as a kid going in and doing, like, a layaway. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know what's happening, but we're not walking out the door with what we thought we were walking out the door with. Like, I'm not sure what's happening. Like, we'll eventually get that stuff, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe not. It's funny. Like, back to school shopping is this week. Like, or like this last weekend, like my youngest is going back to high school. He starts on Thursday.
That's a scary feeling for me. Like, I'm out of school and all that stuff. Just the thought of having to go back to school after the summer is just,
Isn't it the worst?
It is.
It literally is the worst.
Oh, yeah. Once I graduated from Sacks, I was like, I get to go to work Monday through Friday and I just get to go home after not doing anything. Like, this is going to be the life.
No more of that. My son had some homework to do over the summer. He took a summer school course and then he's doing AP history. So we had to do some preliminary stuff for the first day of school. And it's like pulling teeth, like trying to get him to do this. And he's grown like, I want to say like 2 or 3 inches this summer. So he's going back to high school like a much different looking kid, which is going to be weird.
Hey, he's a big dog now.
He drives. He got his driver's license and we got him a car. Like it's totally bizarre.
Yeah.
which is good for me because now I don't have to drive him to school every day.
Kim, say hi to the chat, please.
Yeah. Tell her no cursing, Kimberly. No
Kim,
cursing.
Please don't cuss.
None of that, Kimberly. yeah, I don't have a button in here that
it's all good, James. I got it.
You got us. You got us. So absolutely incredible what he's doing. You were telling me while we were discussing Shohei earlier that there's
you've got a haunting in Milwaukee, James.
There's a weird story with
Mookie Betts is legit not staying with the Dodgers right now at their team hotel. He's at his own Airbnb in Milwaukee. Let me pull it up.
Explain to me, because this is ridiculous that we've...
All right, legit. It's called the Pfizer Hotel. It's in Milwaukee. Like, there's legit... I'm on MLB.com, and there's multiple stories from players. Like, Michael Young has a story about, the hotel being haunted. Like, people won't stay there. Bryce Harper's in here. Bryce Harper said that one time he laid out his clothes fell to the ground, TV turned on or whatever, and he told the Phillies, I think it was with the Phillies and Nationals that time, like, yeah, move me rooms right now.
Really?
Yes, and Mookie Betts is, like, legit not staying there because it's legit haunted.
Okay, so have you ever stayed in a haunted hotel or one that you felt like, okay, something's wrong here?
No, I've never had it. Like, if I knew going into it, like, it's haunted, yeah, I'm not staying there. Like, I've never had an experience where I'm staying at a hotel and it's like, oh, yeah, this is weird.
Okay, so I was at NBC and I'm like, okay, hey, I need to stay down tonight. We have back-to-backs. I do not want to drive all the way home and drive all the way back down tomorrow. So I'm like, I'm not going to waste 5 or 6 hours of my life driving home and driving all the way back. So you guys have to put me up in a hotel. And they're like, okay, fine. But like, it's last minute. We don't have, like, most of the time they put you at like the Intercontinental or whatever, like a very, very nice hotel down the street. So they're like, okay, go ahead, but you have a budget. I'm like, okay. So I was able to get this room for like, it's like something dirt cheap at the last minute, like $120 a night in San Francisco, which is unheard of. And then your fees, whatever. So they're like, okay, that's fine. You can stay. I show up and I swear it's like The Shining. Like, the hallways are like 400 yards long and just eerie. And the carpet is from the 60s. And the whole thing is like stunningly scary.
Yeah, I
like,
can't do that.
I'm like, I don't know if I can stay here. But I did. I got it out. They also gave me like the worst room. I was all the way at the very end of this monstrous hallway. And it was absolutely freaky.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not anti-ghosty, like ghosts or whatever. Like, just leave me be. Let me be by myself or whatever. Like, you've been here before. Do your thing or whatever. Just, I don't want any problems at all.
So are you a ghost person? Do you believe in ghosts?
Believe in the spirits from time to time. Yeah, I think, yeah. Like, okay. Like I said, Bryce Harper said his clothes was laid out and it fell and the TV's on. Like, what am I supposed to believe at that point, James? The man is legit. I'm looking at the story. Like, the man is legit. Like, looking around his room, is anyone else in here? Doors locked, latched, all ready to go. Like,
and his clothes are laid out.
Yes.
Yeah, that gets a little weird. That's a little strange. But, like, who knows? I mean, there it is possible. He's Bryce Harper. It's possible there was a stalker.
I got more from the Bryce Harper story. So, yeah, the clothes were on the floor, right? The table was on the opposite side of the room than where it was on the wall.
What?
Like, it was laid against the wall on the opposite side of the room.
Like, had he gone into the shower and he came out and it was like
he was
that?
Asleep. He woke up and it's just, my clothes are on the floor and the table was against the wall.
That dude's got a stalker. Let's be honest here. It's Bryce Harper. Like, come on. Good looking dude. He's, like, living the life.
That's the thing, though. We got, like, Mike Cameron is in here. Michael Young. Let's see. G-Man Choi. G-Man Choi's got a funny story. Carlos Martinez. Clint Hurdle. Like, this is a thing. It's on MLB.com. Like, this is a thing.
Okay, so how many players every year decide not to stay in that hotel?
I'm not sure how many, but like Mookie Betts is the first one. Like, I didn't even know about the story until yesterday. Mookie Betts is the first one I saw. I was like, legit, like, I'm staying at an Airbnb. Adrian Beltre said, like, back in 2001, he used to tell the team, like, do not let us stay here anymore.
Do not let you stay.
Yeah, so this is like going on 30 years at least.
I think I would go stay there. I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna
see. No, why?
Because like, do they? The ghosts, they might do some weird things, but Jesse, are they going to kill you or something?
Yes, have you never watched a scary movie in your life?
I've watched a scary movie, but that doesn't usually translate to what's happening in a hotel. And I mean, Major League Baseball has a responsibility. If a bunch of people get killed by spirits in a hotel...
Yeah, does my life insurance cover that if a ghost gets me?
I think it does. I don't, but somebody's going to have to prove that a ghost got you.
That's wild that you said you'd go stay at that hotel, because James, like, I'm not... We would never last in a scary movie.
Oh, no, I, yeah,
James, let's run over there. It looks pretty crazy.
I'm in. I'm fully in.
I'm with Soren. He says, I don't even want to tempt the spirits if they're nice. That's the thing. Like, I'll go home or whatever. You do you.
Yeah, but you're talking about your Major League Baseball player. I don't know. Like, when we were in New Orleans, we did, like, Ghost Wars. Like, just to go, like, oh, they're supposed to be a... And you're like, okay, whatever. They're supposed to be a, you know, like, people see a spirit of a pirate. Oh, Lafitte? Is that who it is? Yeah, there's a really, really old, like, pirate bar at the very end of, like, Bourbon Street area. Like, it's kind of tucked away. And I think it's Lafitte's. And it, like, it's supposed to be, like, oh, on occasion you'll see him sitting in the corner. And I'm like, okay. Like, there's a lot of drunk people. There's a lot of drunk people here. And they allow...
That's Steve. Absinthe. He's here every Thursday, okay?
Yeah. He's just really pale.
Yeah.
He is not
he's
a
fine.
Ghost.
He's get him a burger. He's fine.
He's just a guy who wears pirate clothes all the time. He's fine. He's fine. I don't know how we've lost our way here, Jesse. And I don't know where...
It's August 13th. That's how, James.
Like, that's it's very possible. When we're going to get Damian Marling in here for the handoff, I do see him outside. He's looking pretty suave. I've got to be honest.
It's a big day for Dame. You know he's going to show out.
He always...
He is.
He is one of the better dressed men that I've ever met. Like,
probably the best dressed that I've known. Yeah. At least in this office, definitely.
I hung out with Doug a lot, and Doug, like for studio work, is like on point. Like, he has a very large wardrobe of very expensive clothing.
Yeah, there's guys like very Damian nice guy. And Doug, and then there's me, where I'm just wearing sweats all day. Like, yeah.
Damian has entered the building. We've got Damian in the building. Okay, so until he gets hooked up and like figures out what's going on, he's got to guess.
He looks excited, by the way, for those looking for the reaction. He's excited.
He is excited.
He's excited.
We're going to have to ask him if he knew that he shares a birthday with the DeMarcus Cousins. Did you know that, Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, he knows. Okay. I didn't know. Did I not set up your computer all the way over there?
No, it's good. We got it. We in here.
There we go.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That's very nice of you. That's a very nice surprise.
I don't know who that was.
That's Amanda. That's April's daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
How you doing, man? How you holding up? You guys holding up all right?
We just got done talking about ghosts.
We did. We were talking about ghosts.
That checks out. That's fine. Every once in a while, you got to talk ghosts or...
We were talking about the Mookie Betts situation. He won't stay in the team hotel. He's in Airbnb.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him.
He's right. That's what I would do.
I am not mad at him at all.
Where do you land on this?
Yeah, if he's not comfortable there, I'm good. I will stay somewhere else. Perfectly fine.
I got to say, though, like, if I'm a player, like, what the hell is the MLB doing? Why do you guys keep sending us here? Because obviously it's an issue. Like, yeah. I was telling James, like, there's testimonies or whatever from players. Like, nah, like, it's legit haunted here.
Right. Yeah, that's, at some point, Major League Baseball's got to listen, right? You've got to hear, hey, there's a problem. There's an issue at this hotel. Like, book one of the other 5-star hotels.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for something to happen to a Major League Baseball player where all of a sudden, like, you know, you've got to do something about it. If not, it's just kind of a fun story.
I think it's funny. And I admire Mookie Betts' commitment to this. Like, I'm not staying there. I'll stay at an Airbnb. You tell me all the team activities and that's what I'll be there.
Yeah. And we know, like, Rudy Gay told us what happens if you get injured in Milwaukee. Like,
what happens?
You get fat.
Oh.
That's what he said about his friend O.J. Mayo.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what happens. Like, you eat a bunch of, like, cheese curds and, like, hang out. Like,
but do a lot of drinking and cheese in Milwaukee, I've heard.
I think there's a lot of drinking that goes on in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't got to go to Milwaukee. But...
Well, that's their bag, right? Isn't
Yeah, legit. Is
beer's their thing, beer and cheese?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like it used to be, like more than half the beers were made there.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I would like to go to Milwaukee. It's not one of the cities that I have on my list that I don't want to go to. Like, I would like to go cover a game there. That would be fun.
Okay. No? Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I'll go to the arena, but, like, I don't have a desire to go to Milwaukee. That would not be at the... I think of NBA cities I've never been to, Toronto is at the top of the list.
Like, if I'm heading to that area, I'm just going to Chicago, too.
Okay, so I've been to Toronto, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I was there for the finals, and yeah. It's an amazing city.
I'd love to do Toronto. I think that's the only NBA city I've never been to that, like, I really, really want to go there.
Okay. I will say this. When I was in Toronto, it's kind of like going to Portland now or going even to Sacramento now. It used to be like when you walk through a major metropolitan city, you didn't smell weed everywhere you went.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto was like that. Like they were way ahead of the curve.
Mm.
Yeah, way ahead of the curve. There we go. Yeah, it was like, you know, what was that, 5 years ago? And like I walked by a construction site. There's a guy wearing a hard hat and a orange vest. He's got a stop sign smoking right there. Like. What is happening here?
He's holding the stop sign. I mean, there's nothing else he can do.
This is a progressive city.
Shout out, Canada.
What is happening here?
Looking at all those suckers in Detroit like, what's good?
What's good?
Yeah, looking across the water like, what's up, Detroit?
Yeah. That's a great basketball city like Chicago. Like, are you going to Chicago, Jesse? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying if I was going out that way, I'd just head to Chicago. That's okay. One city I want to go out to.
Chicago's dope. I really like Chicago.
I like Chicago, too.
Yeah, it's an amazing city.
Yeah, plus, like, Chicago's good for tours. Like, mm-hmm. Again, I don't go on tours everywhere I go, but, like, the architectural tour where they take you through the river and you're looking at all the buildings that, you know, that are just, like, wonders there. It's just absolutely crazy. And then Wrigley Field is probably the coolest tour I've ever been on. Like, the Wrigley Field, they take you into, like, the press box, but then they're like, here's Harry Carey's, like, box, like, yeah. This is where he called all the games, and like, and then they let you on the field, and the Ivy, they let you, like, go out to the Ivy. It's just absolutely wild.
Yeah, I've never done any of that. I think the dope thing about Wrigley Field is that you're just, like, walking down the street, and, you know, there's Joe's house, and there's Stacy's house, and all of a sudden, oh, no, that's Wrigley Field, right there next to Stacy's house. Like, yeah. that's dope. That's dope. I thought that one was cool. And the other one was St. Louis. The first time I went to St. Louis, it was for a women's Final Four. And we were going to the Cardinals game with Trey Wingo. And the driver was, he was
going to drop some names here.
Oh, Trey's my guy. I love Trey. But the driver was such a smart ass because he was driving. He's like, okay, guys. And we're driving down like this main road. I think it's, keep a lookout. I think it's somewhere on the left. And then just all of a sudden, downtown opens up and there's this huge baseball field like right there on the street. And that was pretty dope. It was freezing that day.
Mm.
But that was a really cool experience to be at opening day in St. Louis.
I went to a game in Old Yankee Stadium for my 30th a long time ago. We flew out. Got a rental car, drove to the Hall of Fame, went to the Hall of Fame, came back to Manhattan the next day, went to Old Yankee Stadium and caught a game. That was cool because, like, of how, like, their rituals in the stadium, which are crazy. Like, they call out the player's nickname mm-hmm. until
they acknowledge, yeah.
And that was fun.
So they did that. They do that at the new Yankee Stadium, too. I never went to the old one. I went to the new one. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the most unique games I went to because we get to the game, and it starts pouring rain, like pouring. So we run underneath. We had a really nice connection for that one. So we run underneath and grab some food. Rain clears up. Game resumes. It's like 100 degrees outside. It is scorching hot after that, like brutally, brutally hot.
And probably like the humidity because of the rain.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal.
Tremendous. Thrived.
Tremendous.
Yeah, like I've been around to quite a few stadiums, like covering games and stuff. But like again, Golden One, like I've been to a ton of stadiums. It's by far the nicest, like of all.
Golden One is top tier
of all. It's one of the nicest stadiums in the league, without any question.
Oh no doubt. I'll be very anxious to get to the Intuit Dome. I really, really want to see that.
Yeah, that's probably going to be really cool.
Yeah, I really, really want to see that in person.
Look, Staples is amazing. Like, really.
I do not like Staples Center at all.
No, well, to cover
I'm sure
game.
Like the, yeah, exact, I'm sure like the behind the scenes stuff, which I've never done at Staples Center, the underground, I'm sure that's fantastic. I do not like the layout of the arena.
They give us
really
good seats there.
It's really just the layout of the arena I don't like.
They give us good seats, and you know how the lights are all yellow, like right on the court, and maybe the first eight rows. We're in that bubble as far, we're in a corner right there, but we're part of that, and then it's all dark. So, yeah, I could see how, like, the further away you are, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah, the further, I've never seen a game there. I've been to it for the Grammys and other things, and it's like, I do not like this building. I've seen the Sparks there, but that was lit different, and I was sitting a little closer.
All right, we're running out of time here. We got about 20 seconds. What do you guys got coming up?
It's Tuesday, man. Trista Crick at 2 o'clock. Jason Jones. We kind of laughed at, does Steph Curry have the greatest shot in basketball history over the weekend? And we kind of laughed at it, but it was like, well, what is the greatest shot in the history of basketball? So we'll talk about that, as well as everything going on with the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, a little bit about the Giants last night. So all that's ahead.
All right. This is your life as well. D-Lo's middle school teacher at 3 o'clock.
Oh, very.
Oh, no.
That segment sucked, by the way.
I know.
I know I'm in the minority. That segment was trash.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Insiders. Jesse Tappy over there. James Hamm here. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back tomorrow. No Kyle tomorrow. Jesse will be here tomorrow. And then we've got guests later in the week. So thanks for tuning in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.